no one's opens. Let's pray. Father, my prayer this morning, Lord, that you do something that only you can do. And God, that's to speak through me. God, that you would change hearts, that you would change lives. God, I pray, Lord, that you take this scripture, Lord, and we know that your word tells us that your word does not and will not come back void. God, my prayer is this morning, Lord, that you just do a work. God, I've thought about this message all week. God, you've took me out to the woodshed all week on this message. God, and you've done a work in me already this week. God, standing in the hallway. God, I pray, Lord, right now, Lord, that you allow me to speak you, God, that people would not see me, that people would not hear me. God, that they would hear and see you, God, that you would hide me behind the cross, that they would see you high and lifted up this morning. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Jesus here is directing his word to the church at Philadelphia. We see Jesus here very clearly show his authority over life. And the word and analogy that Jesus uses is a door. It's a door. He says he has authority to open and no one can shut. He says he also has authority to shut it and no one can open it. Jesus inserting himself here says, I'm the one that is in control of your life. I'm the one that has authority in your life. Let me say that again because it's very important that we understand where this comes from. Jesus inserting himself here to say, I'm the one that's in control of your life. I'm the one that has authority in your life. You know, it's been said that life's a bunch of doors. Miss Paula's going to pull us up and it's a lot of doors. A lot of different colors. A lot of different styles. Life's a bunch of doors. As Jesus said here, there's going to be doors that I open and no one can shut. There's also going to be doors that I close that no one can open. Does anyone ever here believe that life's a bunch of doors? Anyone ever here experienced a door that was swung so wide open you know it was God? Everyone ever here experienced a door that was slammed closed that you know that was definitely God? See, I truly believe that life's a bunch of doors. I was messing around studying and about today, and I thought, I wonder what people have to say about doors in life in general. And I did a Google search, and I'm going to read a few of them, and Ms. Paula's going to run through them. We're going to read them here together. Let's look at the first one. It says, consider the fact that maybe God closed the door because you're worth so much more. Let's see that next one. When God gives you a new beginning, it starts with an ending. Be thankful for closed doors because they often guide us to the right one. All right? Sometimes God closes doors because it's time to move forward. And I like this one because he knows you won't move unless circumstances force you to. Let's look at the next one. When God sees you doing your part, developing what he has given you, then he will do his part and open doors that no man can shut. Let's see the next one. Sometimes doors are meant to be closed. And when you try to reopen them, you remember why they were closed in the first place. Can I get a witness? Let's see that next one. There are things known and things unknown. And in between are the doors. All right, let's see that next one. Until God opens the next door, praise him in the hallway. This is where we're going to sit today, standing in the hallway. You see, I'm like you. I believe there's a bunch of doors, some closed, some open. I believe that God opens doors for us a lot of times, and we never know it's him. But I also believe God closes doors for us a lot of times, and we never know it's him either. I also understand and believe that doors can be classified as blessings. For example, God opened a door and blessed me with a beautiful wife. If you see me and you see her, you know good and well I married way up. Okay? Which in return, when God opened a door for allowed me to marry my wife, allowed us to have a precious little girl. Everybody understand? Is everybody understand? Is everybody tracking? If everybody understands, say amen. Amen. All right? I want everyone to say doors. Let's say that one more time. Everyone to say doors.
Doors.
I want you to look to the person to your left and right and say, are you standing in the hallway? Make sure I got everybody. You see, we all in here could give an account after an account of God's provision where we have opened or closed a door for us in which has led us to where we are right now. Our families, our church, our jobs. I mean, I could keep going on of the doors that God allows us and blesses us with and allows us to do and to be and to where we are right here. But here's what I want us to really look at today. While we are waiting for our next door to either be open or closed, to me, what is most important is what we're doing in the hallway. Notice I said me, because I believe that any pastor or any person who stands and speaks, God's probably more, hopefully, God's already done a work in that individual's life before they ever give the message. Because today's message, if it's for nobody else in here, it's for me. How you and how I respond in the hallway now can and will determine what our next door will be. And for you that's been coming, you know that Pastor Michael's been talking about all for several weeks. What's he been? What we've been talking about? Faith. And I believe our faith is a direct reflection of how we are in the hallway. Our faith shows just how we live in that hallway. God may only choose certain doors to open or close for you and for me. He may choose to not give you that job. He may choose not to heal us. He may choose to never take away a thorn in the flesh like he prayed. Paul prayed on three different times for this thorn of the flesh to pass by and it never did. He may never choose to do what we pray to or what we ask. But as you are in life, as you are in the hallway, how we respond, how obedient we are in the hallway that we in is way more important to what that next door will be. You see, the Bible is filled with stories after stories of accounts of people who had tremendous potential, and they might have started well, and they might have did things right to start with, but as they were in the hallway, they crashed and burned. I'm going to give you three examples just this morning, three examples of individuals in God's Word that we know started well, but they didn't end too well. And the first one we're going to talk about is King Saul. King Saul was handsome, he was tall, he was brave, he was even anointed by God to be king. King Saul even prophesied. The king had incredible potential. But as King Saul was in the hallway, he allowed pride in his life, which gave way to paranoia and jealousy, which ultimately consumed him. Yet while King Saul was in the hallway, he met a tragic end on the battlefield. Next one is Samson. Talk about an open door. God gave Samson great power. And he had an incredible ability to vanquish his enemies. On one account, we know that Samson killed 1,000 Philistines. Does anybody know what he used to kill them with? A donkey's jawbone. Yet while Samson was in the hallway, he went down in flames. While Samson was in the hallway, he played around with sin, and sin ultimately consumed him, which ended up costing Samson his own death. And last, we have Gideon. Gideon was called a mighty man of valor, what we would call today consider a hero. God used Gideon in a great and mighty way, but while Gideon was in the hallway, God did use him to defeat his enemies, but he also, while he was standing in the hallway, his life came to end because he lowered his standards and he fell into immorality and pride. You see, all three of these men started well, but as they were in this thing called life, this thing called the hallway, they failed. You see, these men in the Bible had many doors. They had many opportunities, and yet sometimes they did great, but in the end, they failed in the hallway. Then we see a man in the Bible who had many doors, many hallways, many doors, and many hallways. And again, then he had many doors, and then he had many hallways. And this man would face obstacles upon obstacles and doors after doors. And this man was Joseph. But yet, while Joseph was standing in numerous doorways, numerous hallways, he remained faithful. And we know that God ultimately used him to save the Jewish nation. This morning, there were several stories that we can go back to Joseph. But this morning, I want us to look at one particular story that left Joseph standing in an unbelievable hallway. But yet, Joseph remained faithful. So if you want to turn to Genesis 37, I told you we was going to go from Revelation to Genesis. Just that quick. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? I told you I was going to go from Revelation to Genesis just that quick. All right. If you listen, say amen. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read verses 12 through 36. Pretty good little bit of scripture here, but we're going to read it. And we're going to read a very, very important story. I think it's going to hopefully shed some light on some stuff. So Genesis chapter 37, we're going to start with verse 12, and we're going to finish the whole chapter. If you got it, say amen. Amen. That wasn't everybody. If you got it, say amen. Amen. All right. It says, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are you not your brothers? Basically he says, are you not with your brothers feeding the flocks in Shechem? Come, I'm going to send you to them. So he said, come here, go. Verse 14 says, then he said to them, please go and see it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent them to the valley of Hebron and Shechem. And now a certain man found him there. He was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said to him, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers, and he found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he even came near, they conspired against to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, for the dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him, cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness. And do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his fathers. Verse 23, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped him of stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Verse 25, and then they sat down and ate a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, and with their camels bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. Now, if you like to write in your Bible like I do, I would circle or underline verse 25. That is a very, very important scripture. That is a very, very important verse in this chapter. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for it is our brother and our flesh, and his brothers listen. The Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit. Indeed, Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers, and he said to them, "The lad is no more. Where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of goats, dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their fathers and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" Verse 33, and he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his many days. All of the sons and all of the daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said to them, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in the morning." Thus his father wept for him. Verse 36, now the Midianites sold him to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard. You see, Joseph's brother at this point hated him. They wanted him dead. But somehow, some way, God opened the door. While Joseph was in the pit, his brother saw a train of traders coming to Egypt from Gilead. I go back to verse 25. Let's read that again. Verse 25, and they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way down to Egypt. Now, if you don't hear anything else this morning or listen to anything else, I want you to understand this very next part and what I'm about to say. You see, we look at times in the hallway as times of uncertainty, times of not knowing what is next. But understand that while we're in the hallway, God is always doing a work. We'll say that again. While we're in the hallway, God is always doing a work. It might not be the work we want. It might not be the answer it want. And it definitely might not be the door we want. But God is always doing a work, preparing a way for us, preparing for us to get out or whatever it may be. While Joseph was in the hallway, while Joseph was in the pit, a train was coming. While Joseph was walking to his brothers, a train was coming. While Joseph was being sent to his brothers, a train was already in motion. While Joseph was being made fun of by his brothers, a train was coming. While Joseph's brothers was conspiring to kill him and to not worry about it, a train was coming. While Joseph was standing in the hallway, a train was already coming. You see, you look at stories like this, and you look at times like this, and you say, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow such a great thing to take place? Why would God allow a hallway of uncertainty? Why would God allow Joseph to be in a pit in this hallway? It's something I want you to really listen and understand. God already had a train coming, Luke. You see, that train ride that those Ishmaelites were on from where they started in Gilead to get to Egypt was 200 miles. Everybody say 200. On a good day, it would have taken them 10 days. Everybody say 10 days. Understand that while Joseph's daddy called him up and said, "Where's your brothers?" Hey, that train was already in motion. You see, while Joseph was wandering around in that field trying to find his brothers, that train had already been coming. You see, while Joseph was already walking to his brothers and they see him coming afar off and they said, "There's that dreamer, he's coming," that train was already still moving. You see, while Joseph was over here trying to get to his brothers, and while his brothers said, "Hey, we're going to kill him. We're going to do whatever we can to get. We're tired of listening to his dreams. We're tired of listening to who he says. We're tired of him saying we're going to one day bow down to him." Hey, Luke, that train was already in motion. Do you understand what I'm saying? That train was already going. God had a caravan long before Joseph was ever in that pit. He while Joseph was in that pit, them traitors were still just hopping along, getting on to it. While they pulling him out of that pit, in that hallway, pulling him up, that train was already coming down the road. God had a caravan long before Joseph was ever in that pit. God had was already preparing a door to be opened while his brother wanted him dead. God made a way. God made a way. God opened a door for Joseph while he was in the hallway. You see, there will be times we're in the hallway waiting, praying, seeking. But while we're in the hallway, God's already got a train coming. Do y'all think Joseph really wanted to be sold? Do y'all think Joseph wanted to go to Egypt? Does anybody think Joseph wanted to go to Egypt and be into slavery? But do you realize that God used that hallway, that door, to ultimately save the Jewish nation? See, we look at these times, and we look at times of uncertainty while we're in the hallway and not understanding why and not knowing why. God, why would you do this? But we don't understand what train's coming down the road for us to get on. You see, it might not be the train we want to get on, but God knows the train's already in motion. Chances are, somebody in here this morning, you might be in a pit. You might be in a hallway. You might be in a time of uncertainty. You might be in a hallway that you have opened, that you have no idea why you're in this hallway. But I can guarantee you that God is preparing a door for you to be opened or closed. There's a train that's coming for you. But here's the thing. Joseph stayed obedient. While Joseph was in that hallway, the Bible never says Joseph said a word. Now, we don't know what Joseph said. We don't ever know. Joseph might have come. I'm going to tell you, if Brad was in that pit, I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs, "What is going on?" The Bible doesn't say this, but I know that in every story upon story that Joseph is in, and we know that Joseph went through a lot, we don't ever see where Joseph complains. Joseph remained faithful in that hallway because he knew that hallway is going to come to the next. And then it's going. Could you imagine going from the hallway, understanding how God has completely moved him up, and knowing that God's always going to have a way? If we in life could understand that our faith, while we're in hallway, while we're waiting for things to happen, while we're just doing life, if we can just understand and say, "I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to be faithful where I'm at. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to do the right thing no matter what. I'm just going to do the right thing, whether my brothers, whether my sisters, whether my mama, whether my daddy. Well, no matter what's going on, I'm going to do the right thing." Because when it's all said and done, and when we stand before an almighty God, he's not going to say, when you look at him and say, "Well, they didn't do it," or "They didn't do it," he's going to say, "I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about you." Chances are somebody in here is in a hallway of uncertainty. Chances are somebody in here is waiting for a door to be open or closed for you this morning. See, I believe that we all have doors in our life that are being prepared to be either open or closed for us from God. But to me, the most important thing this morning, okay, is not those doors. What's most important is how we respond in the hallway. While we're doing life, while we're waiting. And for Lord knows, don't try to open a door or close a door that's not a door for you to be open or closed, a door of disobedience. Because you could spend a lifetime in a hallway that you never had no business being in. And you could spend a lifetime in that hallway trying to get out of it. And that's a sermon for a whole nother day. The hallway that we're in right now while we're doing life. Now, understand what it is. I don't think that we need to walk around waiting. Okay, God, I'm looking for that next door. But I do think we need to stay faithful in wherever God's got us right here, right now. And then when we see that door open or close, it won't catch us off guard, but it'll be like, okay, I know that's God. Okay, I know that's God. I know that's Him. While Joseph was in the pit, a train was already coming. See, I have no idea of anybody's situation in here in the morning, this morning, but mine. I have no idea what or if you are in a hallway. And Luke, maybe I'm way off this morning, but God gave me this message for a reason and for a purpose. And if there's one person here this morning that's in a pit that has no idea why you're in that pit, I can tell you there's a train coming. I can tell you for everybody that's in here, whether you're in a hallway or you think you're in a hallway, or you in a pit or think you're on top, or if you're on the mountaintop or you're on the valley, if you're on the middle or if you're in the hot, I don't care where you're at. In the hallway, in life, you better be faithful. And I'm talking to me on that one. Michael's been preaching and teaching about faith. Faith is an action word. What does our faith show about who we really serve? Do we serve ourselves or do we really serve God? In the hallway, looking at doors, asking, seeking, pleading with God to intercede. How faithful are you? Don't never forget that God loves you more than anybody else. Don't never forget that God has a will for your life. Don't never forget that God always wants to do what's best for you. And I think I forget that a lot of times. A lot of times we like to get on a pity party. God always loves me and you like no other. God always has a plan for me and you like no other. But I do believe that God wants us to remain faithful no matter where we are. No matter what pit we're in, no matter what valley we're in, no matter what mountaintop we're on, we better be faithful. And we better praise God. I want to ask everybody just to close your eyes and bow your head this morning here. While we're in, two things this morning I want to leave you with. While you're just sitting here with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. Two things. One, God already has a train moving for you. He already has a caravan in motion. Two, while you and me are waiting, seeking, praying, doing life, can we choose this morning to be obedient in the hallway where He has us right now? Can we choose and say that, Lord, regardless if you choose to never open or close that door, I'm going to serve you. And be obedient in the hallway. Be obedient and faithful in life. He may open or close that door you're looking or praying for. But I can guarantee He's already with you in the hallway where you are right now. How are you doing today, right here, right now, standing in your hallway? Let's pray. Father, we praise you. God, we praise you and understand that no matter where we are in life, regardless if we're on the mountaintop, regardless if we're in the valley or we're in between, no matter if we're in the pit, no matter if life's crashing down and we have nowhere to go and we have no answers, we can honestly say, God, I know I've been there, done that. There's always that train coming. And God, for me, a lot of times we look with blinders on. We look at life right here in front of us. But God, sometimes I think you ask us and we need to take the blinders off and look at everything around us. The blessings of life, the creation, the air that we breathe, so many things every day, God, we take for granted. And yes, Lord, life's hard. I think for us as Christians, a lot of times life gets even harder. Because we know inside we're supposed to worship and serve you. But God, we let life distract us. We let news and all these things that's going around distract us, God, not knowing in the end you're going to win. God, we have victory no matter if we are yours, if we have been bought, redeemed with that high price, with that precious blood of the Lamb, Lord. We know and we should have confidence that we're yours. God, how are we doing today, standing in the hallway? Doing life, what are we doing? Are we being obedient? Are we being faithful? Are we remaining true to the one true worthy Lamb of God? It's your Son's name I pray. Amen.